All right. Well, God bless. And it's a pleasure and a privilege, as always, to have you here and for me to be here as well. I think life is fragile. And I always think that. The other week, one morning, I was in the shower, and I think the day before, I had a really great soccer game, and you know, we were just out there just beating the field to death in that poor little ball, and I'm sure the guys that got in my way weren't too happy either, but the next morning when I was taking my shower, I was thinking, my goodness, that a body could do those things. And we take it for granted. But there's a lot of people that could never get out and do that kind of stuff. Life is fragile. And so what you can do, you should be so thankful. And you should give pause and time for thankfulness. Life is fragile. And what God has blessed you with, you should be thankful for. And you should give time to God. And thank Him for all that you have and all that you could do. And don't take it for granted. Not even for a second. Okay? Just don't. Don't let your age trick you out of thankfulness. Well, I want to do two teachings. One's going to be short and one's going to be short. I had to do that. One's going to be the Agape Code of Conduct. And that's going to be second. But the first one is called Signed, Sealed, and Delivered. And that can go on the internet. But I feel so inspired to share just a few points of some things that should be at the forefront of your thinking. What is the difference between Christianity and all the religions of the world? Christianity is all about what's on the inside. And all the religions of the world is all about what's on the outside. Christianity has nothing to do with what's on the outside, save the Agape Code of Conduct. And all the religions of the world have nothing to do with anything on the inside. And so if you have to answer that question, there's your answer. Yet, what's the practical aspect of that? So let's just talk about Christianity. What is Christianity on the inside? Well, we know out of Colossians, chapter 1, perhaps one of our most favorite verses from the foundational class on living triumphantly in Christ. In verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. In other parts of the word, we find that it's God in Christ in you. We find that God and Jesus Christ, the two, have made their home within you. And so the phenomena of God's homemaking is the genesis of Christianity. When you confess Jesus as Lord and you became a believer of God raising Jesus from the dead, you were a first-time homebuyer. For God made His home in you. And that sounds rather cliche anymore because of its familiarity. But I'd like to say, if that's the case, words of caution are due. And why is that? Because of what it says in Ephesians chapter 4. It says in Ephesians chapter 4 and in verse 30, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Ladies and gentlemen, when you were born again, you were signed, sealed, and delivered under the mighty hand of God's work. You were sealed unto the day of redemption. Yet the familiar grip of familiarity causes words like this to fade away into insignificance. But I'd like to say that in Ephesians chapter 1, perhaps we can bring those words back to the forefront. In verse 13, "In whom ye also, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Hence, signed, sealed, and delivered. Well, what is that sealing? Well, when you learn that you've got God in Christ in you, it's far more than you to say, "I have eternal life and no one can take that away." Why, God sealed him in. God sealed his Son in. And what was that sealing like? Does anybody remember the story of Noah and the ark? When he led those animals in, 2 by 2 and 7 by 7, and shut the door. Who sealed that door? Do you know in Genesis chapter 7, and in verse 15, we read, "And they went in unto Noah into the ark, 2 and 2 of all flesh." They didn't mention the 7 and 7 here, but it happened as well. "Wherein is the breath of life. And they that went in male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in." I believe that God gave us this story as a precursor to the sealing of Holy Spirit, to the proof of what was yet to come, that when God was going to seal in the very kingdom of Christ within a man's soul, he was going to bring in the very breath of life, this time a new life. He was going to bring in himself, and he was going to bring in his Son, and he was going to shut them in. And then all the rain in the world, all the devils of the world, all the chaos of the world, all the tumult that Satan could muster, couldn't touch what was within that ceiling. And so the kingdom of Christ today resides within you. the body of Christ is all of you collectively as Christians. Satan can't touch it. He can't mar it because God shut himself in. He shut his Son in. And when you read in Ephesians chapter 3 and in verse 3, how that by revelation he may know unto me the mystery. Well, I think what happened with Noah in the ark was a mystery. I think the devil wanted to shut everything down. But this was a far grander mystery. Whereby when ye read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. If you've read my May 2007 Ardios, you know now about the sons of men. As it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, which, by the way, are sealed within your soul. And to make all, or to enlighten all, as to what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world or the ages hath been hid in God who created all things, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in the heavenlies might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And you can't help but wonder of these wonders of the ages, of what's been placed within you, of the greatness of the Christ in you, of what was shut inside your soul, your life. Oh, you know Noah, and you know the ark. And you know of the animals. And you know the life that was protected. And you see it today. God's protection is everlasting. And that exemplifies the truth that when God signs, seals, and delivers something, it's a truth. And that with your gift of Holy Spirit and what he's sealed within you, there's no undoing it. There's no changing it. There's no marring it. The grandeur of it, in my opinion, is yet to unfold. Oh, there's some of it we see today without a doubt. But the grandeur of it is yet to unfold. But I say also that many of us have far missed the mark of true Christianity. For when you answer the question, what's the difference between Christianity today and the religions of the world? The answer that most say would be, not much. Why, nothing really. We all have wonderful buildings. We all practice magnificent rites. Why, we all have developed rather magnificent religions. The clothes that we wear, the words that we speak, the actions that we uphold. Oh, how mighty and magnificent they are before the eyes of man. And that, my friends, is an outright shame, especially if that's your answer. For when God signed, sealed, and delivered the greatness of the gift to you, when He delivered unto you, not only putting you in it, but delivered the kingdom of Christ into you, He gave you something to do. He gave you something to be. He gave you something to act. Most people today do not talk with their Father God. Moses talked with God. He never would have built that ark had he not had a communication with God. He wouldn't have known how to build it, to protect it, to put that tar and pitch in between the cracks, the right kind of wood to use, the size to make it, so that it could have endured the turbulence of the waters and the winds, the weight of the animals within, how much food to bring in, and so forth. He never would have known. It took him, 100 years to build that thing? And he had to talk with God every day. Again, the example of Noah and the ark exemplifying the relationship that God expects His people to have with Him. Yet most people don't have it. Most people are so intent on being their own God that not only can they not answer the question of what's the difference between Christianity and the religions of the world, they can't act it. They don't live Christianity. I'd like to tell you that Christianity today is communication. I'd like to tell you today that if you're a Christian, now it's all about you communicating with your Father. Oh, we talk about going to the throne, which is magnificent. But folks, that's outward. I'd like to say that you've got the throne within you. I'd like to say that you've got the kingdom inside. That's revolution. I'd like to say that you need to wander your eyes upon the wonder of the ages and bring your thinking into the reality of what dwells within you and talk to your God. The Bible never teaches you to talk to Jesus Christ. The Bible teaches you to talk to God in the name of Jesus Christ. If Jesus Christ ever walked up to you and said hello, then you may talk to Him. Because those are the biblical examples whereby people spoke to Jesus. There are no biblical examples of people praying to Jesus. Unlike the religious Christianity that serves as our role model today. Do not get caught into that trap. It's a lie. Christianity today is summed up in the Agape Code of Conduct, in the manifestations of Holy Spirit,
and in communicating with your Father God through the name of Jesus Christ and by speaking in tongues. That being part of the manifestations of Holy Spirit. But far too many Christians, and maybe some of you, have made yourself into a god. And if you have, you are a failure. And I'm very sorry for you. You cannot be a god. You just can't be. And if you have done that, I say turn. I say turn your soul back to God. He's in you. I say strike up that discourse once again. I say light that fire once again. I say learn what that Holy Spirit within you is all about once again. But don't be your own God. Don't go out etching out your systems in the world thinking that you're going to be like God. Because just when you need the power the most, it will fail you. What will fail you? Your system. Because you do not have the ability to shut the door of the ark. You can't collect the animals and bring them in. You can't build an ark strong enough to weather the crises that Satan will bring to you. You can't do it. Don't even try. God sealed the kingdom of Christ within you. Turn that way, always and forever. That's true Christianity. There's no outward show of Christianity save the agape code of conduct. The Bible's clear about that. He says, love your neighbors. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang everything. You find that in the Gospels and you find that in the Epistles. So you've been signed, sealed, and delivered. If you've made yourself into a god, you've brought misery upon your soul. And if you are tired of the misery that is choking the very life that God breathed into you when He sealed you with His Holy Spirit, then remove the grasp of Satan from your neck by turning back to God and recognizing that you've been signed, sealed, and delivered by the mighty hand of God. Okay.